How would you like to make an impact in your community? How would you like to help someone that you know who's been a victim of some type of trauma? Well, maybe it's domestic violence or something a little bit more traumatic. Retired police officer and domestic violence expert Rebecca L. Mahan created a program that has been so successful that lives have dramatically changed and people have been able to overcome significant trauma. The book, Victims Overcoming Traumatic Events, is available on Amazon and is designed for patrol officers and those who respond first to domestic violence. That includes you. You might be responding to a friend or a family member that's had to, face a very challenging situation that has been very traumatic for them. Domestic violence or otherwise, the focus of the book really gives details that can be applied to any type of calls for service. And those who are patrol officers, nurses, and family or friends can really utilize the tools and resources that are provided inside to make a difference. There's even a chapter how you can change unhealthy things going on in your life to make them healthy and move forward. Take a few minutes to head over on Amazon.com, Victims Overcoming Traumatic Events by Rebecca L. Mahan.
With us today, Walter Dumas is our guest, and he has got an incredible story. We won't be able to get to the whole story today, but there's going to be multiple opportunities as he'll be back. He's a poet and author, and he has been the victim of an incredible story that you're going to want to know about, and we will be talking about over time. You may have heard of the OK Boys Ranch, and he was someone who was there. I'd like to welcome him, and I hope in your hearts you'll welcome him too. Welcome to the show, Walter Dumas.
Thank you.
Tell me, Walter, how are things going for you today? I know that you have some things. You've got 3 points that you want to share with the audience today, and I'm wondering, how are you doing, and what's the first thing on your mind?
Well, I'm doing okay, and I think the first thing on my mind is faith, because faith is what keeps you going. It's what drives you. So that's what's on my mind today.
I love that. So can we relate that maybe to your journey and how that played a role in where you're at now?
Well, I can just honestly say, I dealt with a lot of adversity in my life. I dealt with a lot of abuse in my life. And so, faith played a role in that to keep me going and keep me surviving.
It's really hard, I think, having the right survival tools when you're getting through things, different types of traumas that you're not ready for or never anticipated happening in your life. And especially when you're in your younger years. And I know that happened for you. Do you remember the first time you thought about your faith and how it applied to your life?
It probably was when I was homeless. And I needed all that strength and faith. It was during our time in Seattle, Washington. We was going through the big snowstorm. And I was out there with no home trying to survive. So it was either I can or I cannot, So I made a decision. I was going to have faith about this and let everything just work out. And that's what kept me going.
I think you said something that's really important. And I think that it's really important for a lot of people to think about. And that was when you said decision. And a lot of times we don't really think about how important it is to make a decision and which direction by doing so that's going to take us. And in your case, you came to take a lot of different factors in, make a determination on what you needed to do, and then a decision on how you were going to go about doing that.
That's true.
So, yeah.
I just had to teach myself how to be strong. You know, I faced so many things in my life. So I could sit here and just, you either can just lay down and give up, or you can get up and do your best to keep going. It's a decision, but that's your decision. That's not nobody else's decision to make for you. You got to be willing to say, look, I'm going through this. I'm going through that. Either I can or I cannot, you know. But my thing is, and my encouragement to everybody is just to keep on going, no matter what. The road was never made straight to me. There's always something rocky. I hear people all the time talking about, you know, their lives and all that. And okay, but if you act perfect, you know, there's no such thing as perfect, you know.
That's such a good point.
You just got to keep on living the best that you can. Every day is a step that you got to take to make it, you know, in this life. You only get one life. There's no do-overs. There's no going back. There's only going forward. So you have to make that decision to go forward and make the best of life. Because life is going to throw everything at you.
I do like how you are saying that. Never give up. Keep going forward. Don't look back. And I've heard different people say things like, there's a reason for the rearview mirror, but you can't drive using the rearview mirror. You have to look forward. What do you think of that?
Well, that is true, because if I didn't make the decisions that I made to keep on living, I wouldn't be here today. I'm 51 years old. I turned 51 November 13th. You know, I was born November 13th, 1972. I've been here a long time. So if I can be an encouragement to anybody out there, just use me as encouragement. You know, I went through so much in my life, but I'm here still to tell my truths and to tell my story and help those that need help. I'm here for you. I care for you and I love you. And just use me and you will see. You can go through anything in your life, but God teaches me that to stand up, and he keeps pushing me forward. And that's what drives me.
I absolutely love this. So you've got faith. You've got keep moving forward. And let's talk about another third point. I know that there's a lot more and we're going to be able to talk about a lot, but your points are very succinct and very easy to understand. And as you're explaining them, I mean, and how it's applied for you in just, I mean, as an example, your homelessness, I mean, oh, wow. Walter, there's just so much. And I have so much that I want to ask you, but do share with us another point you have.
Well, my thing is I live by this, and I make this a rule in my life. And I used to preach this in my church, Revolution of Life Ministries, where I was the senior deacon in my church. But it is to never give up and to never give in. And I live by that every day. So to everyone that's going to be listening to this, and just never give up, never get in. Yes, life is hard. Life can trick you sometimes. Life can beat you down sometimes. But it's not a quit time, you know.
No.
It's a keep going time. And that's what I live by every day.
I really like that. And when you're talking about giving in, do you mean like compromising to your internal compass? Do you mean just really holding on and not giving up to the things that would cause you to just throw that towel in there?
Well, when I say that, because life is a test and it's going to test you, you know, it's going to test you in every way. It could be people, it could be sickness. You could be close to death. Any of things, you know, it's going to test you. And you just got to have that heart and that mind to just not give up and to not give in. Never give up. Never give in. you know, I know some things in life and I understand it can't be helped and things are going to happen to you in life. But long as you're still standing, keep going. I encourage you. Please keep going.
I really love this. Keep going. Have faith. Stay strong. Don't look back. Keep looking forward. Let me just kind of glance back, because to come to the point in each one of those things, you had to endure some adversity. And what age did that start for you?
I can say that I had a very bad childhood. But I think when everything really started to hit, I was 8 years old. And then I went into the DSHS, you know, foster care system. And that's when things started to really just, you know, go into the direction, you know, of a very not good life, I could say. Mm-hmm. A very horrendous life that dealt with child abuse.
Do you think there is far more child abuse in our society than what most people would know about, and far more people either in or needing to be in the foster care system?
The foster care system is broken. You know, they can change the name of it from DSHS to what it is now, Children and Family Services, but you can't mask the horrors and the horrific things that children have been going through. You know, I have been an advocate against the foster care system for years. I just believe it's just a system where you know, some kids are just dropped off and, you know, they're thrown away. It's sad. It's heartbreaking. Being a parent, and a grandparent, it's hard for me because I see kids, you know, in the system. Sometimes that can't be helped. Some kids end up in there because either they're abandoned, they're abused, or the parents just didn't have the education and the knowledge to take care of their children. Then they end up in this system that's not designed to help you. I'm living proof of that. I've been in 65 foster homes, 2 group homes, you know, 2 mental institutions. You can't tell me, you know, it was supposed to be designed to help you.
Okay.
But in my experience, it was designed to break you, and it broke me.
I can understand. Now, let me ask you this, because I know that there are a lot of foster care programs that have been very successful and have produced really loving families and very successful children from those experiences. Would you separate a governmental institution such as what you're mentioning from another organization that might be really geared towards helping children? And if so, what would the difference, do you think, would be?
I believe there's private organizations out here that are trying to help, you know, children and advocating like I'm trying to, so we can fix the system.
Okay.
But as you know, I can say we're in 2024, so maybe there are things out there that they're trying to help. But in the early 90s, 80s, and 70s, no, it was a system that designed to break you down.
You know, it's really interesting. The whole system, especially statewide, countywide, and each individual one. There was a lot of trouble with the system. I know that that holds true also with the mental health care system, where there was a lot of people who were under the guise of getting assistance and then released into society without getting the help they needed. And so we could go historically into a lot of things back in the 70s that just were really very unhealthy for children, for people who are having mental health issues. And then if we fast forward, we have a lot of unfortunate things that have sort of had the ripple effect from that. And you are an example of what happened during that time period, but also an example and a just refreshing stream of encouragement, because with the amount of things that you even just shared with the audience now, you're still persevering through because you have goals, you have a direction, you have things that you're looking to do, you want to help others. Perseverance is, I mean, at the core of who you are. And we go back to your three pillars that you you have faith, never give up, keep looking forward. I just really love this. And so let me ask you, because the show is really geared towards those that are 18 and older. Not that those that are watching could be younger. That's totally okay. There's usually nothing that could be inappropriate, but we all have different boundaries. So let's look at talking about the adult world. If you were to, especially having come from the situation as a child's perspective, if you were to be talking to some parents right now that might be experiencing some challenges where they don't know what to do with the situation they're in and how to give the best course of action to a child that they have, what would you suggest to them?
I would tell them to, you know, seek out help, seek out counseling, you know, for their child. Just don't give your child, you know, away to a system that's not prepared for that child. It's not working for that child. You know, there's a lot of groups out here where parents can go, you know, to help with their child. If you love your child, if you care about your child, then you'll be willing to, you know, sacrifice the time. I don't care if you're working. You know, I don't care if you're at home. If you love your children, you're going to seek out that help, because there is a lot of help out there, counseling, peer groups, and things that will help you to help your child so you guys can stay together as a family.
I love that, focusing on staying together as a family. I think that that is so important. I know for me, I learned early on through Mommy and Me classes that there's resources available every step of the way, at every sort of milestone, and those that are in between the milestones, resources are available. There are things that are available to enrich the parental life as well as the child's life. And I think from things that I have found and other things that I've been doing in helping people, the biggest challenge I have found is that lack of knowing where to find resources. And I know with the advent of the internet and social media that we have a better opportunity to find things, but not necessarily do we always know if the things that we see online are healthy or if that's the right way to go. And I like what you're saying. I mean, if we can keep the family together, and if for some reason that there isn't, it would be looking at what is in the best interest of the child and ensuring that that child's life is going to be healthy. It's going to be enriching. And in turn, then possibly the parents that are in that situation also will have the same thing. I know that you have done a lot of writing, Walter. And you've expressed emotion through your poetry. You have a book, Silent Suffocation. And I really think that the title of that book tells a lot about you. Can you kind of share a little bit why that title is so profound?
Because in my life, for years, I was abused, you know, I was trafficked, you know. Like I said, I've been in 65 something foster homes, You know, all my life, I didn't have a say-so in my life. My life was always directed and controlled. So the title makes sense to me because people has always have tried to silence me and suffocate my life, to abuse me, to prey on me. And that's why the title of this book is so perfect for my experience and what I went through.
Did you feel like you were being suffocated and you didn't have a voice at all?
That's what I felt like. I felt like I didn't have a voice. I felt like, I just felt like they was just trying to just end my life, you know, destroy my life, you know? And that's the part that just really hurts when I reflect on it and look at it. I went through so much. I don't wish on any child, you know. I went through things even in my adult life. I don't wish on anyone, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult. But here I am still standing, still trying to move forward, you know, despite it all. Yes, I got these tears in my eyes and things hurt. But God built me different. He built me with a I don't quit attitude, despite it all. People today still try to silence me. People today still try to suffocate me. You can't. My faith in God is bigger than what the perpetrator is trying to do to me.
Let me just say something. I'm thinking about this. And I'm thinking about how do we overcome suffocation, and you need oxygen to do that. And I'm thinking about your pillars, having faith, never giving up, keeping looking forward. And I'm thinking that those are actually the oxygen to not silence you, to not suffocate you or your voice. And you are doing just that. You are moving forward. And the pain is there. And I know that that's there, not only when you feel it to help you continue to work through all of those things, but also to share with somebody else that you understand. You understand those things. And where you're at in life now is not only have you experienced this as a child, but you can look at this from a different end now, as a parent, as a grandparent, and say, hey, this is how things should or shouldn't be. And here's some boundaries. And I know in your book, you talk about these things, which is absolutely essential. I really feel like sometimes we need a handbook because we're not given one. We're not given a handbook on how to deal with certain things. And some of the things that need to be in our schools, in our education system, has to do with parenting and having healthy relationships. And whether that's with yourself or with your children or anybody else for that matter. And it's just not there. They've taken so many things out of our education system that provides us tools to address things to help us get through life. And this is an area that I think really needs more focus. And I hope that you will be pursuing the advocation of that through your writing and through the contacts that you have as you move forward. Let me ask you, Walter, what was the biggest challenge in writing your book?
Well, I can say that you're talking about 40 plus years of depression, 40 plus years of abuse, 40 plus years of torture, you know, in your life, and then you got to remember all the things that happened to you. And in order to write that book, I had to get upset, I had to get mad, and I was able to remember everything once I got upset, once I got mad, and that kept me keep pushing forward to write this book.
Yeah, you have to dig deep. and get to those, the core of those feelings. It's absolutely important. And it's absolutely important to push through and remember the things that you don't want to remember sometimes, whether it's to help you through a certain situation, whether it's because you want to share your story and get it out there.
I can say this, and if I can encourage anybody that's going to be looking at this, you have to find something therapeutic, you know, to keep your life going, because you're going to deal with a whole lot of mess in your life. For me, writing poetry, writing stories, you know, I'm a romantic. I like, you know, writing that way, but it's therapy. Writing for me is therapy. It keeps me going. And then also, you know, I'm not telling anyone to do this, but if, you know, for me, churches, it was a big thing for me back in the day when I was a deacon. So I'm just happy to say that I started back in church on last Sunday. That's other therapy for me. And I'm planning on going to that church every Sunday. And, you know, that's going to be therapy for me too, to help me keep pushing forward and, you know, not give up and to not give in by doing that. So I encourage anyone to just find an avenue for you. What's going to make you, you know, just keep pushing forward? Because that's what life is. It's supposed to keep pushing forward. Obstacles and tribulations and trials, they're going to come. We know this.
You know. Yes. I want to thank you so much, Walter, for your time with us today. Can you share with the audience where you'd like to have them connect with you?
They can text me, you know, or email me at walterdumasbusiness@aol.com. If they'd like to leave me a text, I will respond back. You know, I'm always on Facebook. You know, you can just reach out and put Walter Dumas in there and just friend request me that way. TikTok and Instagram and LinkedIn. And all you got to do is put in Walter Dumas. You'll find me that way. And I'll accept your friend request or follow me, and I'm there, and you'll learn all about me.
I love it. I love it. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in, where we bring people that should be able to change your life with three pillars, or at least lead you in a great, healthy direction or a new perspective, or that you can share with your friends and family. Thanks for tuning in.